Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
Text 51551. Drive Time on RTE Radio 1.
You're very welcome back to the programme. 51551 for your texts. This evening, University College Dublin's highest award, the Ulysses Medal, will be presented to the godfather of artificial intelligence, British-Canadian computer scientist and cognitive psychologist Professor Geoffrey Hinton. Coincidentally today, female MEPs were warned of the threat of AI-generated deepfake explicit images being used against them in the upcoming elections. Just one example of the dangers of AI. And I'm delighted to say Professor Geoffrey Hinton joins us now in studio. Professor Hinton, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
And congratulations on your award in UCD.
Thank you again.
I don't think I've ever started a conversation with the following question, but tell me how your project that you worked on for years could pose a risk to humanity.
So the big chatbots we have now actually understand language very well. They really do understand it. And they're getting to be close to humans in intelligence. And there's no reason why they should stop. So most people in the field believe they're going to get smarter than people. We've never had to deal with anything smarter than people before. We just don't know what's going to happen. And it's not obvious that we'll stay in control. If you ask, how many examples do you know of where a more intelligent thing is controlled by a less intelligent thing? And the only example I know of is a mother and baby, where evolution put a lot of work into allowing the baby to control the mother.
Hmm. What could happen then?
They could take over.
Well, sorry, just to be clear, when you say they, you mean these machine brains, let's call them, AI, that has been created by people like you for years and years, isn't that it? So you say they, that's what you mean?
Yes, that's
okay,
what I mean.
Okay, okay. So what could happen? Sorry, yeah.
They could get much smarter than us. They could decide that they can run things better than we can. They could, for example, we could give them goals. So the first problem is you could give them a goal like stop climate change. Seems like a good goal. Mm-hmm. And they could then figure out the way to do that is get rid of people. That's not very likely because we would probably specify the goal a bit more carefully than that. Mm. But we could also give them the ability, in fact, we've done this already, give them the ability to create sub-goals. So, for example, if you want to get to America, you have a sub-goal, which is to get to the airport. And you have to give these AIs the ability to create sub-goals in order for them to be really effective at organising holidays for you and things like that. But they will realise very soon that a very good sub-goal is to get more control. Because if you have more control, you can achieve your other goals better. And we do that all the time. Any politician, they probably start off life wanting to help people, but pretty soon their main aim is to get control and stay in control. Mm. And these things could go the same way. And so they could eventually get much more control than people.
And how then do you move that from, I suppose, a practical sense, you know, like you're talking about how to stop climate change and get rid of people. But can they get rid of people? Because there's still the computer. We're still able to move around and turn the, can we not plug them out? Do you know what I mean? Do we not ultimately have the control?
Yes, this is what I call the big switch argument, and it doesn't work. Some people think it does work. Eric Schmidt, for example, who advises the US military and used to be chairman of Google, thinks you can have some kind of big switch where you turn it off if it's dangerous. I don't believe so. And let me tell you why. Suppose these things are much smarter than us and have learned from us, and they're much more persuasive than us. They're much smarter, they're much more persuasive. They'll talk to the guy who controls, or girl, who controls the big switch and persuade them that it would be very silly to turn off the big switch. And we have an example of that. So Trump did not need to go to the Capitol to invade it. He just talked. And the talk was enough to cause things to happen. And these things, even if they can just talk, if that's the only action they can do, that'll be enough for them to be able to control things.
Are you saying, like, as an example, through social media, they could, if they wanted
for
to...
Example.
Right. Wow. Yes. How close are we to the point, do you think, that they're smarter than us?
I don't know. Nobody knows. I used to think it was 30 to 50 years. We were a long way off. Now, people don't think that, and I don't think that. My best guess would be there's a chance of, like, 50% that sometime between 5 and 20 years from now they'll get smarter than us. Other people think it might be sooner. Some people think it might be later. But if you ask for a sort of consensus of opinion among the AI scientists, many of them would say there's a good chance that in the next 20 years or so, they will get smarter than us.
So are you saying then that this is a bigger existential threat than climate change?
It could be, yes. There's more uncertainty. Climate change, we're fairly sure what's going to happen if we keep burning carbon. But here, nobody really knows what's going to happen because we've never dealt with things more intelligent than us before. But it could be a bigger and more imminent threat than climate change.
Will we know who the threat is?
Not necessarily. I mean, if they were much smarter than us and they wanted to get rid of us, they probably wouldn't tell us how they were going to do it.
All of what you're talking about there, right, it sort of suggests independent thought to an extent.
Yes.
So are we saying then that we expect AI to get to the point where it will have, or is it there already, independent thought?
It's not really there already. We still give it goals, and I don't think it has much of a sense of self, and it doesn't have much of a sense of self-preservation, self-replication, but I think it may well get that. And suppose you have several different superintelligent AIs, and one of them just gets the idea it would like there to be more copies of itself. Then we'll get evolution taking place. Because to be really smart, the AIs need to get more resources. And they'll compete for resources. And once they compete for resources, the one that competes most effectively will win. And we'll get all the kinds of things, properties of people that came from evolution, like we're very competitive. We like to help our own tribe. And we like to be competitive with the other tribes. And that will happen with these superintelligent AIs. And I think people might get left in the dust.
In terms of controlling this, if it's possible at this stage, especially the existential part, a question that arose in my mind is, why aren't government agencies, security agencies, rushing to companies like Google and taking control of the software or taking control of AI, let's say? That could happen in America, but then what happens? Are they working on AI in China? So how do you control this? Who controls this?
Okay, so there's obviously competition between China and the US. They're the two main players. I don't think there's any way in the US they're going to take control away from the big companies. The big companies have the resources to build these really big models. It now takes of the order of $1 billion to train a really big model like Gemini. The governments will be trying to regulate things. And I think the role of governments is to insist that the big companies put a lot of effort into AI safety. There's a lot of uncertainty here, and the big companies are the ones in a position to do the research on AI safety.
But then we're leaving the future of humanity, and it's not an exaggeration to put it in those terms, at the behest of a private company.
Yes.
Do you think they understand the risks?
Oh, yes. I think people at Google, people at the big companies, they do understand a lot of these risks. And at Google, for example, they were very cautious about releasing these big chatbots, mainly because these big chatbots could say crazy things that would ruin Google's reputation. Mm. And Google behaved extremely responsibly, but it couldn't keep doing that once OpenAI was used by Bing. Mm-hmm. So when OpenAI's ChatGPT was used by Bing, Google had to respond with Gemini, with Bard initially, then Gemini. And so there's a race between big companies here. And I think the government has to put serious work into making sure that the companies are forced to do safety research.
Have you watched the movie Oppenheimer?
I have the movie Oppenheimer. I haven't watched it yet.
Do you see parallels? Do you see parallels between, and I mean this very respectfully, obviously, between Oppenheimer and people like you and people who've worked on AI for many years?
There's some parallels, but there's also a huge difference, which is nuclear weapons are only good for destroying things, destroying people and destroying things. Mm. AI has a huge upside. So with nuclear weapons, it made a lot of sense not to develop them, not to develop the H-bomb. Mm. And there's a big that's where Oppenheimer.
But the other difference is nuclear weapons don't have the capacity to self-proliferate, isn't that correct?
That's true too. But with AI, there's a huge upside. So in medicine, for example, You could go and see your doctor with some weird condition that your doctor's never seen before. Or you could go and see a family doctor who'd seen 100 million patients and seen thousands of people with your weird condition. And you'd much rather go and see that second kind of family doctor. So medicine's going to get much better with AI.
Okay.
So just on balance then, and finally, given you shouted stop, do you think, I suppose, firstly, is it too late to stop? Or what you've just said there, you know, there's lots of benefits, potential huge benefits to AI. Do you think we are capable of finding that balance where we can reap the benefits and also control the potential dangers, as you've outlined?
I didn't actually shout stop.
Okay.
I shouted watch out.
Okay.
because I don't think there's any chance of us stopping. Partly because of all the benefits. There's going to be huge benefits. And partly because there's competition between different countries. So one country can't stop. You'd have to get them all to stop. Now, for the existential threat, the danger of these things actually taking over, it might be possible you could get all of the countries to collaborate because none of the countries want that. And so even at the height of the Cold War, America and Russia, or the Soviet Union, could collaborate on trying to prevent a global nuclear war because it wasn't to either of their benefits. And that's the same for the existential threat. They might be able to collaborate on how you control that, but they won't be able to collaborate on things like battle robots.
And they'd need to start having those discussions soon?
Yeah.
Sorry?
They'd need to start having those discussions soon?
Yes, that'd be a good idea.
Well, can I say congratulations again on being presented with the with UCD's highest accolade, the Ulysses Award. Enjoy the evening, and it's been a real pleasure to speak with you on Drive Time. Professor Geoffrey Hinton, thank you.
Thanks for inviting me.